Today's date is September 8th, 1997. The speaker is Nancy Conger, and the topic is smell, the primeval sense.
Dear God, who is our Father, our Mother, our Creator, thank you for the windows to this creation that you've given us. Thank you for all the ways we perceive your world, your love, your creativity. Thank you today for the sense of smell. Amen. Today, come on in. I'm Nancy Conger, and I have written the book Sensuous Living, Expand Your Sensory Awareness. And this is a book about using and improving the senses to live more richly, more fully. So all this week, I'm going to be highlighting one of the senses and talking a little bit about it, why it's created this way in humans and other ways in animals, or just some things about how the sense works. And then each of our sessions will also include some experiences and ways to maybe use the sense in a way that you haven't done before. Come on in, grab chairs with you, please. Great. Actually, as I was researching my book, it became my favorite sense, because it's the sneakiest one of them all. It is so powerful, and we don't even know. It's actually our most powerful sense as far as making us react to people and behave different ways. It's very unconscious. The reason smell is so powerful, and we don't even know it, is that it is a very ancient sense. And it goes straight from the outside of you, boom, right back to the limbic system, this very ancient part of your brain that's very similar in humans as it is in birds and reptiles and mammals. We're all quite created similarly at this level. So smell, when you smell something, you do not get a chance to think about it. You don't get a chance to shut it out like all the other senses. You can make choices, or you can think and make an interpretation. Sense of smell, you get no choice. A molecule of something will dissolve into the air. It comes into your nose and hits a patch of cell structure up here, and it'll nab onto a place that it fits. And as soon as this molecule, this physical part of something, comes in there and hits the cell that it matches with, boom, you get a signal to this base of your brain, and there's a memory, or there's a mood, or there's a sexual desire. Just these things that are so big and powerful, and you might not even want to be feeling that at the moment. But with smell, it bypasses all this big thinking, complex, advanced human stuff, and it goes right to the very core of our nature. So I would like to have you experience this most basic level of sense right now, with smelling your own scent. Because each of us has a scent that is as individual as a fingerprint. If there were 100,000 of us running through the mountains, a bloodhound would have no problem picking you out of the trail. No problem, because your scent is so particular, unlike anyone else's. And we have a cloud of this scent around us all the time. We have hormones that are giving messages to people and animals and plants about us. Now, most people say, well, Nancy, I don't go around smelling people. And so, that applies to other people, that's really not me. That's not true. You are. Even in this room, with the proximity we have right now, we are starting to smell each other. And after our hour is over, this room will smell different from the hall because of us. And it will smell different from Elmer's session next door, because those are different people creating a different hormonal soup. So, yes, you do smell other people all the time. So just do this with me. Take one of your hands and lick the back of it. You have to get it wet. I know. I just do stuff stuff like this to make you look weird. So you get it wet so that molecules will dissolve. And then just gently smell yourself. And the best way to smell is not big, but just little puffs, like a perfumer or a wine person.
I don't smell very good.
So just keep it up there, because this is a very subtle scent. And this may take a while to drift into your consciousness. But just keep it up there and keep smelling. If you used a scented soap or lotion, it's going to take even longer to get through that scent to the human scent underneath. But after a while, you may find this warm, gentle, human flesh scent. And this is you. This is your own mix. Does anyone smell themselves? Okay, can you describe it? Any words come to mind? What you smell like? I know it's hard. I don't think. Anyone have a word that they might use for how you smell today?
No, mucilage.
What?
Mucilage.
Mucilage. Just what I was thinking. I smell sweet today. I think I've been drinking that licorice tea. Wonderful, and I must have had 10 cups of it since I got here 2 days ago. So I think I'm smelling that coming out. Some days you may smell sour. If you had meat the night before, you will probably not smell very good until that's digested and out of your system. If you eat a very clean diet, very plant-based diet, you'll probably smell more light or tangy. So your smell changes, but it is still always individual. Now, okay, big deal. We have the smell and it's really subtle, so what? What's amazing about the sense of smell is that this personal scent is actually vital to our relationships with people. And there's been a lot of studies done on it. For instance, people who entirely lose the sense of smell typically become very depressed, can have dysfunctional relationships, just cannot seem to get it straight with others, and entirely lose sexual desire. And the only change was losing the sense of smell. Now then there's been other experiments, always on women. Women have a legendary sense of smell, and no one knows whether that's biological or cultural. I tend to think it's cultural. We're allowed to smell, and we do the cooking, and changing the diapers, and we're like using our sense of smell more, typically. But at any rate, the experiments are usually on women. And one famous experiment is taking a group of mothers and spreading in front of them 4 identical baby t-shirts. And the question is, which one did your baby have on? And they go, I don't know, they're all the same. I don't know, maybe this one. And 3/4 of the time, they are correct. And the only way that they can know is there is a different smell coming from their baby's smell. Well, then they've turned it around and tested babies as young as 10 days old. And at this age, a baby cannot see. Everything is a blur, and it's mostly black and white. So it's not that a baby can recognize the face of its mother. And they'll take these babies who cannot see and give them the smell of a mother. And the babies will recoil from the scent of other mothers, and they'll turn toward and reach out for the scent of their mother. So the baby knows this, and the mother knows, all at the level of hormone. Now, we don't like to think this way because we think we're very sophisticated creatures and that we're very far above the animal realm, that we have been created far, far differently. When the truth is, we are created very beautifully, much like them. There is this hormonal communication going on all the time. And as part of this creation, this hormonal connection of smell is actually vital to even the propagation of the human species. An example is women will choose partners And it is the women who choose partners in almost every species. Women will choose a partner that has an immune system most different from her own, so that when they mate, the result is a stronger baby. Now, how many of us know the immune system makeup of the people we're dating? We don't. The only way we know it is through a hormonal signal. And this has been tested a lot of times, and women will choose people with an opposite immune system. Then interestingly, when we change the makeup of our bodies, hi, you can just grab a chair, great. For instance, a woman who say is taking the pill or any kind of drug that changes the hormonal makeup of her body chooses men with more similar immune systems, because we've messed with the natural setup. So we might not think, or some people don't like to think that we are like the animals, but we are very beautifully created to work, to make all kinds of decisions that we're maybe not smart enough to make. It's all set up for us. We just follow our natures. Now, any reactions to this or thoughts?
Well, I'm a bachelor. Does that mean women just don't like my scent?
No. No, I don't think so. There are, we better add, there are many reasons people choose. You probably smell just great. Good thought. Has anyone ever met someone that you just cannot stand the smell of? Yeah, okay, like what? What was the situation?
Well, we had this friend and I just couldn't stand going to their house because it just like, it smelled like them. And that was the problem.
And you didn't like it.
It smelled musty. Mm-hmm. Like, old and wet.
Even on your face, I can see you smelling that stuff. Okay. Okay, and that was, and did the people smell like that too?
Yeah.
I mean, out in the, yeah. Okay, so you just didn't like how they smelled.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think another area too is when you like you travel in Italy, and if you're in a department store in December in a wet, raining, warm, and they don't bathe as much.
Uh-huh.
And so, you know, for our culture and so forth, people generally bathe, and it is real different to get used to.
Right. But I like.
I spent some time there in the service, and you get repulsed.
Yeah.
There's some very good-looking people and so forth, but here is this odor.
Right. That we have been trained to think is bad.
Yeah.
And I like what you said. You get you're not
your
used
brain
to it.
Doesn't sit with it.
Right.
You get used to it after a while, but
right. You do. Yeah, very cultural. This culture is hilarious. Is everyone here an American? Or does anyone live in another country? Okay, well then we'll just say this culture. It is just, I mean, I die laughing because we have been sold this idea that we stink as a natural creature. We reek. So we need to spend a lot of money for all these products to just strip ourselves every day of any possible natural scent we might have. But then we need to buy some more products that have other scents, which are from the sex parts of animals and flowers, to put on instead of our own smell. I just think it's so weird. And interestingly now, you can pay $100 an ounce for
pheromones?
Yeah, for the cologne that has human pheromones. What you just washed down the drain. Then you can go buy this product, but it's okay because it's a product. You know, it's so weird. So I have a theory that about American culture. You know, there's a lot of the breakdown of relationships and families and marriages, and there's a lot of that happening. And my own personal theory is if we got off this ultra fanatical clean thing and just let ourselves, accepted our hormonal scent and allowed ourselves to connect the way we're designed, I don't think it would be happening as much. I have yet to get a grant to test this, but but you know what? Okay, this is an experiment for you to try. You're at Holden. We need to conserve water anyway because the drain. You don't want to plug the drain. Don't sh- shower unless you have, unless you like sweated, you know, took a big long hike or something. It's just an experiment of acceptance of how we were created. We smell absolutely wonderful. And we are designed to choose each other by the smell, and mothers and babies bond by the smell. Even in experiments of women with menstrual cycles that were either very long or very short, when given dabbed male hormone under their noses, within 3 months, boom, those cycles all come to about 29 days, the most fertile and most comfortable cycle for the human. So we are designed to have this happening. Now another, okay, anybody like objecting greatly to this so far? Because let's hear it, it's interesting. Okay, all right. Just checking for doubting Thomas's. Now another way, besides being this forger of relationships, smell is a very happy thing to have in the whole area of food. And I'm not even doing a session on taste this week because our sense of taste is extremely dull. It's just very dull. You could lose your tongue, all this sensation in your tongue, and still enjoy food incredibly because almost all the flavor comes through your nose. So there's, you know, of course you smell the dining hall as you're going up there and get your taste buds or your salivators going. And you can smell food as it's coming up to your mouth. But even once it's in your mouth and you're chewing, it's wafting up the back of your throat to your nose. Purely, there's a passage back there for that. So that you are smelling your food in and out of your body. And your sense of smell is 10,000 times stronger than your sense of taste. So one thing to do to start improving the sense of smell, which you can do, is simply to smell stuff with intention. And in studies, what they found is if you just practice smelling and pay attention with your mind while you're doing it, it orders your brain to create more olfactory cells. Because you're essentially telling yourself, oh, I need to be smelling this. I need a little more apparatus. And you will actually grow more olfactory cells. And there are, if you, when we smelled our hands, if you were not able to smell, that's okay. About a fourth of the people cannot smell consciously human hormones. But if you practiced it every day, you know, for a few minutes smelling, you would develop the ability to smell it, and this has been proven. So,
how old can you be before that ability to grow those cells would cease?
It never does. Age has nothing to do with it. In fact, your the olfactory cells, which are housed right up here in a mucousy patch, they die and renew about every 30 to 90 days, your whole life. So every couple months you have a new nose, and you can just, you know, train it to do whatever you want. And I've been doing this for some years, and I'm now finding that often I'll smell an animal before I see it in the woods. Like deer have a very musky scent, sounds like other people. Snakes have a kind of a dusty, really low, I guess, it's a very deep scent. And I mean, it's always surprising when you can smell a snake. So just by practice and putting your mind on it, you will just get a better nose.
How long did it take before you started to be able to do that?
To notice that?
Would like say for a year or 6 months or?
I've been doing it my whole life. Because I was ultra interested in the senses, and I would run around with my dog, and when she would wag her tail and get all excited, I would get down there, you know, and try and smell it, and could never. You know, I always felt like it was such a ripoff to be a human sometimes. I mean, she was reading stories all over, and all I could smell was just plants. So I've been doing it for a while. I don't know how, you know, at what point I started smelling animals. I just have been noticing it, or I could smell the village. Actually, I went on the 10-mile creek hike. And coming back, before I could see or hear the village, I could smell it, and it smelled like people. It smelled kind of sour. Yeah. It just did, and I thought, what's that? And I thought, oh, I must be getting close. And there I was. So yeah, but it doesn't, considering that the cells grow and die so quickly, I don't think it would take very long. And it's putting attention on the smelling. So I want to have you try this. You can either stay in this room, or I would recommend going outside too. But we're going to take, oh man, we're going to take 10, let's say 15 minutes. So if you don't have a watch, get with someone who does. And what I'd like you to do is go around and smell things that you normally don't think have a scent. So like, don't smell flowers. I mean, if you're passing by, go ahead. But things like a table or, you know, a tree trunk, anything that you don't think has a smell, and go there and smell it. And do like we did with the hand. Just stay with it a little, at least a minute or two, and do gentle puffs and let that smell come to you. So let's do that for 15 minutes. And so I'd like you to get to between 8 and 10 different smells. So stay with each one, you know, a minute or so, and then move on. And then we'll come back here and see what you discovered. All right? So as injury,
or something
can do
that. Like that. I know a fellow that was fairly young that had no sense of smell, and it did come on that way.
Oh, I had an aunt when one of her children, when she got pregnant, lost her sense of smell.
Really?
Yeah.
Did she get it back?
Uh-huh.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
it was wild. Really weird.
How terrible.
Yeah. So everything
so
smelled bad to her.
Oh, now the food didn't.
Yeah.
Oh, good. It came back. I'm afraid you might be on a scent trail of some critter. The raccoons are going, get them! So what was this like? Okay, let's just hear a few people's experiences, observations.
Almost without exception, everything that I smelled that I thought didn't have a smell also had a memory connected with it.
Oh, like what did you come across?
Well, I smelled that plank of wood first, the top side that had the sunshine on it, and it was the smell of an unfinished deck that I had laying in the sun on.
Interesting.
Tried to smell a pane of glass over there, very faint. Yeah. But the picture that was in my mind was an old abandoned house I used to go for playing around.
Wow.
With.
So instantly you got an image.
Almost all memories.
Cool. Someone else, what
I noticed the difference between rocks that were in the sun or in the shade. It was like they almost smell warm or cold.
Uh-huh.
It's like you can almost smell that.
Yeah, right. Right. There's the temperature factor, but there's a smell factor too. When things are warmer or wetter, more of the smell dissolves in the air and you get more of the essence. Good one. So rocks have different smells.
Mm-hmm. But the mushroom had the most.
Oh.
Not the, you know, kind of.
Oh, you brought it in.
Smell.
Pass that baby around. Oh, yeah, that was
the strongest one.
That I know. With myself, I can barely smell it.
The mushroom.
I can smell the sour of the bricks there, the charcoal of the bricks, but that one I can barely.
Not as much. Well,
touch it.
And that is totally fine because each of us has an individual nose developed through our genetics and also through the practice, whatever we are used to smell. Yeah.
What kind of struck me was that as much as what you're saying about how powerful the sense is, it seems, or at least myself, I feel pretty limited in my vocabulary to describe it.
Right.
That it really, my only way to describe it is often based on what it smells, something else that I know the smell of.
Isn't that interesting? And yet there are cultures that have many, many words for how things smell because they accept the idea that we smell. You know, and ours just, we don't. Yeah, I find that too. It's so distinctive, but I cannot describe it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I smelled the pine tree out here and was surprised. I didn't get much fragrance until I broke a little twig, and that was
it was all sealed inside.
Mm-hmm.
You're all prepared for these subtle threads. Knocked over. What else do people smell that you didn't think would have a smell?
An iron bar.
An iron bar. Okay.
I smelled the running water.
Oh!
And I was going to try to smell the running water, and then there's the still water, too. I was going to see if there's a difference, but I didn't have time.
Oh, well, after this, go do. That's really interesting.
I smelled an old leaf, and it smelled minty.
Ah, nice. So surprised.
I smelled a metal sheath out there beside the telephone pole.
And it had a smell.
Mm-hmm. It smelled like a machine shop I worked in with.
I smelled a piece of pottery that was baked and had the odor of coconut oil. And I thought, did the potter in working with it? I don't have any idea.
Different
than I expected.
Yeah, surprise. Many surprises in the things we smell.
The wet clay, however, didn't have any smell at all.
I didn't get much out of it either. Some rocks smelled more than clay.
That was the clay smell. Strong.
Did you?
That was strong.
Have you ever worked with clay, or do you? Mm-hmm. Okay, so your nose has chosen, because you keep telling it, I need to smell this. You've developed more sense for clay.
Yeah, I could smell clay, too. Clay.
You could, too?
Probably.
Are you ever around clay, or?
Well, like school, so.
You're always around clay dust. Okay, that's a great example. You guys have developed clay smelling.
Yeah, it has meaning.
Yeah.
You know.
Interesting.
Good and bad.
Many fine chefs, instead of tasting food, will just smell over the pot, and they can smell if it needs more salt. I mean, you can do this too. Mm-hmm. If you don't have to taste your food, and you'll know if it needs a little more oregano or it needs pepper, just by the smell. Actually, more by the smell than by the taste. Mm-hmm. It's powerful. Okay, any other last things that were surprising or interesting?
I smelled a pine cone that ended up, I finally realized it smelled like dill. It smelled like a spice, and so I was going through my mind thinking what it was. And all of a sudden, a pickle came to mind, and I thought it smells like a pickle, and then I thought, no, pickles smell like dill.
Oh, there you go. So it took a while to get through the thinking part, but your nose knew it right away. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Yeah, I knew it was familiar immediately. But
yeah.
Couldn't connect what it was.
Well, I smelled the big telephone pole, and it smelled like cinnamon. Did you smell it?
Surprised. Cinnamon or almost maple?
Oh, yeah, maybe that. Yeah, maybe it was the sap.
I thought it was a cedar
in the tree.
Pole.
I'll bet that's it. I was just mystified at that one. But I'll bet you're right, it's the sap in the sun still in that pole. Now, there's also, sometimes you can get tricked by smells. Like you notice that the pine has some element of the dill, you know, and the sap smells a lot like cinnamon. Our brain will try to make an association. It just keeps trying and trying, because we don't like things that we can't name. That's uncomfortable for a human. So a lot of times, smells that are very chemically similar and smell similar, we might mistake them or think these are the same. One example is, I used to work in an office building, and somebody got a dozen of those deep wine red roses. You know, they're almost blue, they're so dark. And I went by those, and I just whiffed it, and I hadn't seen the roses. I said, wow, who's eating apples? And because it smelled, I thought it was apple. And then they said, duh, it's roses. And I said, and once I saw it was roses, well, then it totally smelled like roses, not apples at all. But then we started doing a test with people. And we did a rose, you know, with their eyes closed, and then an apple. And they were the same. So it's sometimes identifying it just slots it into its category, and you don't necessarily know what it is. Like broccoli and carnations smell almost the same. But you would never think that.
Broccoli and carnation?
Yeah. I think so, at least. I mean, I've mistaken them before. Or picking raspberries one time, I thought, holy smokes, there's a skunk, I could smell it. And I backed away, look, no skunk. I went back to the berries, there was a skunk. And it was wild onions that I was crushing. But I didn't know about wild onions, and I do know about skunks, so my brain said it was a skunk. It was onions. So it's a, the finer, the more practice you do like this, the finer you will get in the little distinctions, and you won't mistake skunks and onions, even, you know, if you're paying good attention. I want to have you try another one, this time with back with our human scent. So lick your hand again and get your scent back. You might smell like mushroom though. Okay, just find your scent. And now, if you're comfortable doing this, and you do not have to do this, but find someone else and smell their scent and trade. Do a trade.
I smell.
So if this makes you totally uncomfortable, don't do it, but it's interesting. So if you want, you want to try?
Sure. Okay, you could just do it. From the
you want anyone?
Yeah.
Are you
still? Yeah. I don't know if I want to smell.
You do not have to. It's a boundary issue that you do not have to break.
Vinegar and dill, like a pickling day. Mm-hmm. And Cassie smelled like radishes, and you smell like seashells.
Cool! Bottling will make a fortune. Yeah, okay, very different smells. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Other comments? Who else tried it?
Well, we did, and he described my scent, and I would have described his the same, but they were totally different.
Different. Sure. What was the description you were
showing? Woodsy or?
Woodsy.
Cedar, wood cedar.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah. Do we intake scents, smell differently? Do we identify differently? I don't know. I haven't done research on it, so I don't know.
Well,
the only thing I can think about is this. I don't know what the paper's called, with the taste thing, where you stick it on a kid's tongue in a circle.
Oh, yeah.
And some will just spit it out, and others don't even have a taste at all.
Yeah,
But that's with the tongue.
With certain taste on the tongue, there's so genetic differences.
People will react, but I wonder in the same way, do we react differently? You know, we sort of have the same, but...
Yeah, chemically we're taking in the same thing. Mm-hmm. And boom, it's going to have some sort of biological change in us. But then as soon as you bring it up to consciousness and make a decision that it smells like this or something like that, that's where we differ. Because we all have different backgrounds, experiences, and likes and dislikes. Like when you have a memory on a smell, I didn't have a machine shop memory because I've never been in one. You know, but I smelled that same thing and it was like, oh, tools. You know, because that's the only thing I could really relate it to.
Well, maybe so, relate to one thing would be like a dairy barn where it's kind of pleasant memories, but somebody else go in there from the city that hasn't been there.
Will you tell your story?
Yeah, it was very interesting how the Maasai, whom we've all heard so much about, they said we stunk as Caucasians because of our soaps and deodorants and hand creams and everything else, because we had the same reaction to them.
Right.
They stunk of cattle smells and things, fire. It was an interesting smell. It brought back memories of, as a child, being out in the woods and having campfires. Every time I smelled them, I thought of that, you see, because they had that woodsy campfire smell, sitting around campfires.
And so there, they're smelling the same thing we're smelling. Our culture has taught us that these smells are good. These really, they're actually really harsh. Are so, and their culture says that reeks. Yeah.
An interesting story about that, but just in our culture, my mother-in-law is a librarian, and homeless people have come into the library in the winter and tried to just find a place to be where it's warm, and they smell like campfire.
Oh.
And to my mother-in-law, who every summer goes and camps, it's a very pleasant, and she enjoys the people. But to her boss, they are homeless people and unwashed, and he wants them out of the library. And so she struggles with the problem of, you know, what is a good smell? So even in our own culture, campfire to one person is unbathed, and to another is pleasant memories.
That's a great example. You know, okay, Play-Doh. It has a distinctive smell. I love the smell of Play-Doh because I just think of joyful childhood. I had so much fun with Play-Doh. Well, someone else I know was playing with Play-Doh the day that his mom died. And he absolutely, he'll get sick to his stomach when he smells Play-Doh. And it's the same smell, but it's, you know, all these associations that we put on the smells will determine whether we like them or not.
I think, too, when you talk about farm smells and animal smells, when you are involved in that type of work, you don't notice it as much as then now we no longer have pigs or cows. I'm much more sensitive to the smell. We had neighbor boys, and they didn't farm, and all the pigs, you know, pig smell just was so offensive. Those children moved away, I suppose, when the oldest was 5 years old, and for the rest of his life, if they went by a pig smell, Rankin's pinks, he'd say.
Rankin's pigs are pigs.
So, total association.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, and that, you know, you bring up a good point. I think Mark brought it up too, that after you're around a smell for a while, you start to not smell it, and your cells do get tired, or they go off duty. Just like with, there's no fan on in here, but you know, if you walk in a room and there's a fan going, you notice the sound. Well, after 10 minutes, it's just background. You don't notice anymore. So because there's such a flood of sensation around us, we choose to not pay attention to everything all the time because we'd go crazy. So you do gradually shut it off once it's around you all the time and it's not something to be alert to. Yeah.
There's a healthy smell and a sick smell too.
Oh, to people?
Mm-hmm. Yes. When people are sick, you can tell because they have a bad odor.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
And you can smell drugs. And you can smell. I always use this as an example. When I was a young nurse, we had a young man come in, and he had been in some heavy metals, and he was being poisoned by them, and they used this one drug on him, and it was called BAL. and it is a heavy-based medication in oil. And so then I think it must have been about 20 years and I had never given that drug. And I walked into the hospital where I was working and I said, who's getting BAL? And they said, well, how did you know that? I said, I can smell it.
Wow. Interesting.
And there was a lady there that had received gold shots for arthritis and she'd gone into a coma from heavy metal poisoning, and that's what they were giving her, and that's how they brought her out of it.
You nailed it by the smell. Yeah. Well, there is now a dog that they trained to smell cancer.
That's right.
Yeah.
Oh, I know.
Yeah. Yeah. Because a bad cell has a different smell.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And certain diseases, I haven't experienced this, but maybe you have. Certain diseases have a distinctive smell. Like, I think it's a person in a diabetic coma gives off a smell like acetone, nail polish remover. And tuberculosis has a baked bread kind of smell. And so before we had more sophisticated or less sophisticated methods, the doctors would know by the smell what disease a person had. And so you're probably sensitive to those as well.
And you can, like penicillin, we know right away when somebody's getting that. Or even other stronger antibiotics, you can tell right away when they're getting that. It comes through in perspiration odor, and it comes through in all their mouth, from their mouth and urine and everything.
Wow. Interesting.
My husband's an orthodontist, and I've heard him say that he can smell, when there's something going around because the kids coming in will have a different body odor.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I wonder, there's also, I think there's some smells or some products that people work with that get kind of almost embedded in their skin. Mm-hmm. And even though they clean and bathe and so forth, like I have a friend there in the dairy business. And there's just something, I mean, she can be dressed up and I can see her at a church function or a community function. And she's a very clean lady.
Yeah.
But I can smell this dairy deodorant kind of whatever this stuff is. And it's just, it never seems to leave her.
Interesting. Well, considering that there's hay in the air and all the smells in the air, you take them and you physically take this stuff in. It's the only way you smell it, is to physically have molecules enter your body, and you're breathing it in. It would make sense that it's in you.
Like,
interesting.
Years ago, when you grew up on the farm, you didn't take a bath every day because you didn't have the facilities.
Right.
And so you took a bath on Saturday. And when you went out and milked the cow, you tied your hair up. But yet, when you went to school, I'm sure the teacher could tell you'd been next to the cow.
Yeah. And that might have smelled good to her, and that might have smelled bad to her, depending on.
But I think maybe we all smell the same.
Yeah.
Well, things to do in your life to improve and enhance this remarkable sense is every time you're going to ingest something, food or drink or anything. Take some time and intentionally smell. And just so, in public, I'd love to just put my head down on my plate, but I tried to do it more subtly. But even as something's coming up, just spend a few moments, with the food on your fork and just pay attention. And then eat it and pay attention as you're eating it. And you will command your nose to expand. And then also, if you live with people, a family or roommates or have friends that you can sniff like we did today, do that because, again, you will expand your awareness of people. And that's a real enhancer in relationships, either with ones you love or with people you just meet. I used to work in employee relations, which is for a large company, and it's the place where everyone comes when they have severe troubles, a conflict, sexual harassment, or what have you. And I could smell their distress, because I paid attention to it. And it's a good clue, and they might be saying, this is fine, this is really no problem, but it is. And I could smell their fear or their distress. So if you pay attention, the world gets bigger through the sense of smell. Well, thanks for your participation today and experimentation. I appreciate it, and I hope you all are going to be sniffing your food. Thank you.